This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Just a few weeks before the new academic year starts, questions about that are in the minds of families and students alike. Those are students from McKinley Classical Leadership Academy High School using their talents to protest outside a community meeting last month. Their audience was the superintendent of St. Louis Public Schools, who met with parents and other officials to discuss plans to close between 15 and 22 schools. McKinley might be one of them. That uncertainty is raising the pressure of students and families. School officials say these actions are needed, that doing nothing or trying to keep things as they are just aren't options any longer. Similar questions face school leaders in some North St. Louis County school districts, and it has them considering consolidation. Hiba Ahmed is St. Louis Public Radio's education reporter. She joins us now to talk us through how the region's schools got into this situation and where things go from here. Hiba, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Elaine.
So let's start in St. Louis City, where SLPS has 62 schools. Mm-hmm. And you first reported on a draft version of the Future Ready SLPS report in June, and it presented a few different plans, including one that would close about a third of those 62 schools.
Yeah.
What stood out to you first about this report?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, the biggest thing was that this is the most concrete plan that we've seen from the district in years. So, you know, school closures are not new to St. Louis City or to the region. And really, it's happening all across the nation, right? A lot of school districts are seeing their enrollment decline because of these bigger demographic changes that we're seeing across the country. Birth rates are down, death rates are equaling out with those birth rates. So districts are often planning 5-10 years into the future. And when they were looking at their numbers, they were like, wait a second, we have less students coming in. And so what does that mean for our facilities, especially in a place like St. Louis that has 62 schools for just one school district, right? Almost 100 schools across the city when we take into charters, private, and other types of schools that are available to families. So some of the things that stood out to me about this draft proposal, that there are three models, and they start to introduce a different type of school, which is that would be a pre-K through 8 school, which there are a couple in the district that are around right now, but this would basically consolidate a bunch of elementary schools and middle schools into one building. And I think the other really big change to me that really jumped out to me was that this is the district's way of sunsetting its historic magnet school program. This is the general magnet program. This is not the gifted schools, but the magnet school structure was introduced, of course, in the era of desegregation and the integration of public schools. They were designed in a way to help attract white families back to the city of St. Louis after experiencing a chapter of white flight from the city. As we've seen, the magnet schools have, you know, in large part kind of been spread out all across the city. I think St. Louis tried to basically offer a ton of options to families to be able to attract as many families to the city's public school system. But now the district is in a place where they just have way too many schools and just not enough students to fill them.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to invite you to join this conversation about potential closures of schools in the SLPS district. If you are a parent or student, how are you preparing for these changes? Give us a call with a question or comment at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. So SLPS has already gone through multiple rounds of closures,
yeah.
And the most recent was in 2021 when the district closed 8 schools. Was that just not adequate? You know, did the report explain why these additional closures are necessary?
Yeah, so the district and the city has been seeing a decline in population for decades. And that's why the school district naturally has to shut down buildings on kind of a semi-regular basis, anywhere from, you know, every 4 years or so, the district starts to bring up some sort of consolidation plan. This was probably the most ambitious plan that we've seen, the most amount of buildings that have been proposed, again, up to 22 schools. Again, nothing has been approved, I should say that. Like, the district hasn't finalized a proposal. They haven't taken it to the school board for a vote, which would be required. So that's still forthcoming. But yeah, I mean, this has been happening, and you know, the district is responding to a lot of different pressures. Yes, it's declining enrollment, but it's also a projected $41 million deficit that the district is going into for this coming school year. That's after a spend down of their fund balance, or they, you know, use their reserve funds last year of roughly around $30 million. You know, last year, the state auditor put out a report that said, you know, if the district continues on this path, right, of spending down tens of millions of dollars every single year, they will be bankrupt up in 5 years. And a lot of those expenses are going into things like maintaining a lot of these schools, right? Trying to respond to emergencies. A boiler goes out, or there's a leak, or, like, you know, a tornado hits, mm-hmm. right? So, and of course, the district is also naturally also being forced to respond to some of the changing forces within education within Missouri. You know, we are seeing a change in the education funding formula. Governor Mike Kehoe did not fund the full formula, and state legislators did not fund the full formula, which left about a $190 million gap for school districts across the state. And that really hurts districts like SLPS. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there is an ongoing challenge of just, you know, when you have less people living in a city, you have less property tax revenue coming in. So it's all these kind of a confluence of all these factors that have brought the district to this point.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are certain schools that have been identified as ones, yeah. you know, that could be closed. And we mentioned McKinley High School, and you mm-hmm. were at that musical protest. We heard yeah. a little bit of that. And that was last month. And students were asking officials to save the school yeah. from closure. McKinley is a magnet high school. Yeah. It's just one of two high schools that could be closed in 2030.
Yeah.
Why is a school like McKinley being, you know, put on the block for potential chopping?
Yeah, so the district has not given a specific reason for why they have proposed certain schools for closure. You know, McKinley and the other high school, Clyde C. Miller Career Academy, which is actually right up the street from us, mm-hmm. They are, the 9 through 12 high school program would be closed, but the buildings would be repurposed to serve other purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, so for McKinley, they propose, for example, putting the PEGS program possibly into the school, which is, of course, this, you know, program that's with Lindbergh School District that is a, you know, often for students who test into it and provide kind of advanced academic pathways, essentially. And Clyde C. Miller would become the district's career and technical education center, meaning mm-hmm. that's where, like, kids from all over the district could go and take cosmetology or, like, a mechanics workshop or something like that for credit. And usually they graduate with some sort of certification. You know, again, the district hasn't finalized its list. It's been really, really clear about that. However, it has spooked a lot of families. And something a parent told me, actually, that I thought was really interesting is that, you know, the families are often having to submit applications for this magnet school, for the magnet schools, come October.
Mm-hmm.
So even though McKinley's not being phased out until 2030, people are already sharing within, like, parent Facebook groups, like, hey, like, McKinley's not going to be an option for you.
Right.
Even
right.
though it's still not being closed. We don't have a final decision yet about mm-hmm. whether McKinley is going to close or open or what the district is going to do. So it's just one of those things where it's like right now we're in this holding period until the district brings forward a final proposal and the school board votes on it. But, you know, parents have to make decisions pretty soon.
Yes. Pretty far in advance.
Yeah.
Did you notice any difference in what students and parents were saying? Were they pretty much, like, on the same wavelength
yeah.
as to why they want schools not to be closed?
Yeah, I think I heard confusion from both parents and students. I think students, especially from McKinley, you know, they're really passionate about the programs that are at that school. In large part, they have a fantastic band, an award-winning band program. But I think the students, you know, they were able to speak more from their personal experience, that they really enjoyed attending the school and you know, generally are happy, so they don't completely understand why the closure is happening, as their parents have said the same thing. And again, the district hasn't really provided an answer at this point.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a very quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation about potential school closings for St. Louis Public Schools. And hopefully we'll also get to what is happening in St. Louis County and some of the districts there. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Hiba Ahmed, who is STLPR's education reporter. We're talking about potential school closures in the St. Louis region. Now, the proposed closures for St. Louis Public Schools haven't attracted opposition from students and families alone, but from elected officials as well. Mm-hmm. And last week, St. Louis's Board of Aldermen proposed a resolution calling for a delay to the closures. So what was that reaction from school officials? And is a delay actually possible at this point?
I mean, yes, a delay could definitely happen. They have already pushed it back a little bit. Originally, I think the school board was thinking about voting by the end of August so that the district could start informing families around the back-to-school season time. You know, back-to-school is around August 24th this year, coming up fast. The board could just continue to ask questions and wait. If they feel like they don't have all of the information to make an informed vote, they could wait into the school year to make that decision. When it comes to the other in response to the Board of Aldermen's resolution, I mean, the school district said in a statement that, you know, it welcomes the dialogue and you know, people are allowed to, you know, push back, but ultimately the district is doing this because it is responding to very real financial pressures and changing enrollment. And they understand that whatever happens to the city's public school system is then also in turn happening to the city. Mm-hmm. So I do think there is an agreement among the Board of Aldermen and district officials that something needs to happen, right? Some level of closures do need to take place. How they go about it and then what becomes of those closed schools is definitely our open questions.
Mm-hmm. We've talked in the past about transportation,
yes,
which has been a challenge for St. Louis schools.
Yeah.
So the district is spending about $35 million a year on more than 200 bus routes. And Hiba, you reported that the district sees those numbers as unsustainable.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Dr. Berry wants to, who is the superintendent of St. Louis Public Schools, Dr. Meyer Berry, wants to cut that transportation budget in half. They just say that it's just too expensive. Their two biggest pots of money of expenditures right now for the district is transportation, and the other is staff salaries and benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, that those are where the cuts have to come from if we're really going to straighten our ship as a district. You know, just to remind listeners that the reason why transportation is so expensive in the city is because they are busing students from all over the city to all over the city, meaning you could be a student that lives in the north side and gets bused to a south city school, and you might be on that bus you might be the only kid on that bus because the district is, you know, currently providing transportation for all students and all families who opt into it. So I believe the number was roughly anywhere from like 7,500 to 8,500 students last year. They have this new partnership with Zoom, which is their main bus provider now. The district also pays a lot of money to bus students or transport students rather, who are experiencing housing instability. The district estimates anywhere from, you know, about a fourth of its student population is dealing with that. So they could be living anywhere in the city, but are registered in a different school and they need to pay for that kid to get there.
Is that a practice that's common in other cities?
Yeah.
Like to bus them anywhere?
I think it has been traditionally, because the idea is that it's the public education, it's the public school system. They're charged with, you know, providing all students with equitable access to a fair and free public education. It's very expensive to do that. So urban districts in particular often have turned to relying on other methods of transportation, including maybe teaming up with other school systems within their city boundaries to, you know, kind of get all kids on the buses. A lot of schools will also pay for public transportation, like passes, like school bus passes or metro passes for the students.
And that is part of the proposed changes, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yeah.
So the next steps as far as the closures go, August 24th is the first day of school. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
The very next day, August 25th, is the meeting where the Board of Education is expected to vote on the final school closures proposal. What will you be watching for, Hiba, between now and that August 25th vote?
Yeah, so actually the school board has, I think, pushed that vote back. August 25th will be when the school district presents its final proposal to the school board for consideration. And then as of right now, the school board is thinking about voting on it in early September. Again, that could all change, as
it already has, right?
But for next steps, yeah, I mean, the district is still holding, you know, has its regular meetings for the upcoming month where they will continue to engage district officials about, you know, next steps. What are they hearing from the community? And the district has said that they plan on adding additional community meetings to continue to inform all families of the fact that this is happening. There is definitely a concern among the greater community. It's definitely a question that I have, that does everybody know that these school closures are happening, or are they about to find out when they come back for the school year, right? That their kids' school just may not be here or may look different come next year.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask, are there some families that are in favor of these school closures and some consolidation happening?
I think that there is a general understanding that some sort of school closures do need to happen, right? That there are just certain facts that are just undeniable. Enrollment is declining. These are epic buildings, but they are old. And families do want to see more resources inside of each individual schools. And they do believe that if the district can kind of maybe pull more students together into one building, then you can have like a really robust art program, or you can have like a sports team or something, because you'll have enough kids to participate. You can justify the teacher's salary for that. So I think there is an understanding. Parents want clarity around and more transparency around how the district landed on these models and why they chose these particular schools for proposed closure.
We're talking today about issues facing schools in the St. Louis region, and I'm speaking with STLPR's education reporter, Hiba Ahmed. Now, it's not just St. Louis City that's facing some tough questions about what to do with limited resources, with fewer students, and with rising costs.
Yeah.
And in St. Louis County, school officials from multiple districts are considering coming together, consolidating. And last month, you were at the first meeting of the St. Louis Region Future of Public Education Task Force. It's a big title.
Long one.
Yes.
Yeah.
The group is made up of top school officials. What are they trying to do, Hiba?
So they are trying to kind of chart a path forward in response to some of the similar issues that we've been talking about around declining enrollment in certain school districts, aging infrastructure, increased costs around salaries and benefits, decrease in state funding, all of the things, right? As we all know, St. Louis is a very fragmented region. And just as we have many, many municipalities, we have just as many school districts. And some of these school districts are teeny tiny, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They are like serving like 2,000 to 3,000 students. And many, something which was really interesting to me is that Pamela Westbrooks-Hodge, who was a former state school board member, so the Missouri Board of Education member, who left her post this summer, she's basically pulled this task force together. And she resides in the boundaries within Normandy Schools Collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
And Normandy, unfortunately, is slated to lose its accreditation come January. And one of the challenges is that when that happens, families are given the option to send their kids to other school districts. And what Westbrooks-Hodge is basically saying is that, look, like, one, this is really challenging. Let's try to find a solution so that, you know, these neighboring school districts will likely have to take in these students anyways. Why can't we maybe consider consolidating some of them so that Normandy doesn't end up losing its accreditation and also all of these students get served in one capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Another point that she brought up was that many of these students are also dealing with these housing insecurity issues. So these students are often moving around these districts anyways because they're so close, like they're neighboring school districts. Mm-hmm. So she's like, what can we do to kind of bridge this fragmentation and kind of just pull our resources together to best serve these students?
Mm-hmm. And there's also then the potential for state takeover,
yeah,
right? And that, like,
introduces a whole other rash of challenges, you know? And that is what happens. When a school district loses its accreditation, the state often intervenes. And this happened for Normandy back in 2013. It lost its accreditation, led to a state takeover. It did stabilize the district's finances, but we never really saw a huge jump in academic performance within among students. So I think the fear is just to not repeat that cycle.
Mm-hmm. So this task force, it consists of representatives from five North St. Louis County school districts. We've mentioned Normandy.
Yeah.
There's Riverview Gardens, Jennings, Ritterner, and Hazelwood.
Yeah.
How similar are the challenges these districts are facing to those of Normandy?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things is that the high mobility rate among students. So students moving around because of unstable housing. You have students who are across the socioeconomic spectrum. You have students who come from big families or small families, or you have parents who work, you know, all hours of the day or into the night. It's a lot of these kind of similar themes that we see across these North County school districts. And you also see one of the big challenges is that all of these districts are also losing funding from state side, but also because of the senior tax freeze that went into effect in St. Louis County on property taxes. So, you know, the cost of maintaining a school district has only continue to rise, but if that property tax revenue starts to just stabilize or just even decline, that's a huge hit to public entities, especially public school districts. And, you know, I spoke with the superintendent of Riverview Gardens where she was like, hey, look, like my school district is small and we are a property thin, you know, like because we have folks who are elderly who've owned their homes for decades. They no longer have to pay property taxes. So that's our community, you know, and we have to kind of respond to that.
Yeah. And briefly, what are the other options that are being discussed there?
So I think it's either a consolidation beginning next school year. It could be a phase consolidation. So over a set of years, there is a option just to focus on trying to figure out how to save Normandy. And the fourth option is like, let's just come up with a whole new plan. Everything is very much in the beginning stages. But this task force is planning to bring its proposal to the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education by December, which is when, you know, they're going to be making their decisions around accreditation.
Mm-hmm. Are you looking for parents to talk with?
Of course, always.
And how can they reach you?
You can email me at hahmad@stlpr.org or get in touch with our station. I'm on Instagram. I'm always down to meet you guys for a coffee and just talk.
All right, she's here for you. And that is Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio's education reporter. You can read her latest coverage and what's coming of it at stlpr.org. Hiba, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.